Let's turn now in the scriptures to Leviticus in chapter 14. In Leviticus chapter 14, we'll be reading verses 1 through 57. Leviticus 14 and verses 1 through 57. Remembering how we heard last Lord's Day of the leper and what makes one a leper, that is, what makes one unclean as from leprosy. And this continuing now from that. Starting in verse 1, these are the words of God. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two live, clean birds and cedar wood, and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. He shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe in water and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. It shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and be clean. Now on the eighth day he is to take two male lambs without defect, and a yearling ewe lamb without defect, and 3/10 of an ephah of flour, of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. And the priest who pronounces him clean shall present the man to be cleansed in the aforesaid before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then the priest shall take the one male lamb and bring it for a guilt offering with the log of oil and present them as a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughtered the sin offering and the burnt offering at the place of the sanctuary, for the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also take some of the log of oil and pour it into his left palm. The priest shall then dip his right hand finger into the oil that is in his left palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil 7 times before the Lord. Of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right ear lobe, and of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering. While the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm, he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. The priest shall next offer the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Then afterward he shall slaughter the burnt offering. The priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be clean. But if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take one male lamb for a guilt offering as a wave offering to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves, and 2 young pigeons which are within his means. The one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. Then the eighth day he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord. The priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall offer them for a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the lamb of the guilt offering, and the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also pour some of the oil into his left palm. And with his right hand the priest shall sprinkle some of the oil that is in his left palm 7 times before the Lord. The priest shall then put some of the oil that is in his palm on the lobe of the right ear, the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the guilt offering. Moreover, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, to make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. He shall then offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, which are within his means. He shall offer what he can afford, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, together with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement before the Lord on behalf of the one to be cleansed. This is the law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited for his cleansing. The Lord further spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you enter the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put a mark of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, something like a mark of leprosy has become visible to me in the house. The priest shall then command that they empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the mark, so that everything in the house need not become unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to look at the house. So he shall look at the mark. And if the mark on the wall of the house has greenish or reddish depressions and appears deeper than the surface, then the priest shall come out of the house to the doorway and quarantine the house for 7 days. The priest shall return on the 7th day and make an inspection. If the mark has indeed spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall order them to tear out the stones with the mark in them and throw them away at an unclean place outside the city. He shall have the house scraped all around inside, and they shall dump the plaster that they scrape off at an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and replace those stones, and he shall take other plaster and replaster the house. If, however, the mark breaks out again in the house after he has torn out the stones and scraped the house and after it has been replastered, then the priest shall come in and make an inspection. If he sees the mark has indeed spread in the house, it is a malignant mark in the house, it is unclean. He shall therefore tear down the house, its stones and its timbers, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall take them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes into the house during the time that he has quarantined it becomes unclean until evening. Likewise, whoever lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. If, on the other hand, the priest comes in and makes an inspection, the mark is not indeed spread in the house after the house has been replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the mark has not reappeared. To cleanse the house, then, he shall take 2 birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop, and he shall slaughter the 1 bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. Then he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet string with the live bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird as well as in the running water and sprinkle the house 7 times. He shall thus cleanse the house with the blood of the bird when with the running water, along with the live bird, with the cedar wood and the hyssop and with the scarlet string. However, he shall let the live bird go free outside the city into the open field. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it will be clean. This is the law for any mark of leprosy, even for a scale, and for the leprous garment or house, and for a swelling or for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when they are unclean and when they are clean. This is the law of leprosy. And those are God's words. So the leper being unclean, the question then is, how does the leper become clean? There were no ways given in the scriptures so far of how to cure leprosy. It's when God cures. But how now is the leper to be cleansed, or the leper's spot to be cleansed by the priest? In verses 1 through 9, the ceremony for cleansing for the leper is by being sprinkled with blood. So having the priest take the live bird with the string and dipping it and flinging it upon you. And blood being flinged upon you, that is sprinkled. Verses 10 through 32, after being cleansed, then the leper was to bring offerings, and the priest were to sacrifice them after the previous ceremony. And then any signs of leprosy in a house of Israel, like we just read, were given in verses 33 to 53, how to cleanse the home, very similar to using the bird and sprinkling of the blood. And then the conclusion is a summary, verses 54 to 57. All these things, again, we know point to the blood of Christ that cleanses us. Jesus, in his ministry, in the Gospels, pointed at least on two occasions back to this law and chapter that they were, after even having been cleansed or cured of the leprosy, they were to go to the temple and be cleansed by doing these things here in this chapter. And that was, of course, before his death and resurrection. These things were during the life of Christ, still binding the ceremonial law. But after his sacrifice and after his resurrection, these things become obsolete and yet still applicable to us. Because here we are pointed to the restoration of how we are restored to God when we are unclean, when we are in sin. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we must be sprinkled with his blood, and that's what is shown in water baptism, that we need to believe the gospel and have that blood covering us, sprinkled upon us of Christ to cleanse us. And we receive that only by faith. And so cleansing comes through the sprinkling. Other places we see about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, so that's also in water baptism, but here we see the sprinkling of his blood needed upon us. That's shown in water baptism. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for the death and sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. He gave up his body, he shed his blood, so that we might be cleansed of our sin and made whiter than snow, as we are spiritually sprinkled with his blood and received, of course, by faith alone. That's shown in the sacrament of baptism, which we see every once in a while as we celebrate that sacrament. Father, we're thankful for the death of your Son. We're thankful for the blood shed. And we ask that you would, even in this, not only thinking of salvation, but even for us in sanctification, we need still the blood of Christ. We need cleansing of our sin because we're still in sin. We still have remaining sin, habitual sin, indwelling sin that we're going to read about again in a few moments in Romans and other places. We need to be cleansed and made clean. And so it is should be obvious to us that we need to continually come back to the cross, continually come back to the gospel and what it communicates and what is true in Christ, and that to receive Christ once again and over again, that we would be cleansed of that remaining sin. Of course, we don't come back and again to be justified, but we do come again and again to remember, to grow in Christ, and to be cleansed of remaining sin. Father, we see here the example of lepers, those who were unclean, considered unclean during the ceremonial law, and who were made to go outside the city, where unclean things go, out of the fellowship of God's people and communion with and closeness to your presence and the presence of Christ. And Father, we in like manner, not so severely, we experience things like these in our bodies when we are frail because of the fall. There is pain and illness and struggles in body. And so we do pray for those who are struggling in their body today and not able to be with us, not able to fellowship and commune with you in this special way in public worship. And so, Father, we ask that you would heal their bodies and bring them here. We pray for Jeannie and her leg and her back now, and also for Dina, that you would heal her, that you would enable her to have more energy and be able to be here in the mornings and the evenings. As we pray for everyone here, we do pray for whatever is keeping the McQuashes and Dangs away from us this morning, that you would have them to be encouraged to assemble together with your children, with your people, that they would not forsake that. If there's any sick, that they would be healed, and that you would grow them and help us as we grow together as a congregation of your church, of Christ's church and bride. Father, we also pray spiritually for our souls, our hearts, dealing this morning in Romans with a very difficult passage that may be hard to hear. And so, Father, we ask that you would encourage us in Christ, remind us of the promises, and have us to continually come back to your Son, that we would not forsake you or turn from you or be hardened in our hearts, even by the deceitfulness of sin. Father, may we in this day find this day a delight, for it is your day, a day that you've designed to be a delight and to find joy and love and many things as we look to you and rest in you. Father, we do pray for our government. We know that there is great divide in our country over politics, which leads to a divide about morals and society and culture. Father, we find in our day murderers and adulterers and coveters and many things, Father, in which people hate you and act like atheists or are atheists in their hating of your commandments. And so, Father, we pray for our nation that you would bring about a great revival and send your Spirit. You've said the fields are white for harvest. We pray that they are and they would be, and that you would bring your word to bear upon the lives and hearts of many people in the world and in the church, which needs to be cleansed of her sin. And Father, we ask that you would even use us as instruments in this world, even perhaps before governing authorities, even local authorities who come to our door. We pray that we would be bold enough to say that they, and encourage them that they need to bow the knee to Christ, and that they not seek power for themselves, but that they would rule according to your word and submit to Christ. Father, we ask that we would in this be able to share the gospel and testify of Christ and what he's done for us. And so, Father, in these things, we pray that you would give us opportunities and of evangelism, and that you would bring people into your kingdom and to your church. Father, we do ask for your help in all these things, and that you would work all things together for our good. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.